Okay, I want to know, true confession time here, how many people are into cooking shows on cable TV? All right, just leave those hands up. Wow, okay, cool. Okay, so some of you guys are going to know what I'm talking about then. RJ. Some of you guys are going to know what I'm talking about then, you know, because we watch, Missy loves cooking shows. She loves cooking shows and surgery shows. You know, she'll watch some guy get his knee operated on, pop off the kneecap, and go in there and scrape it out, and then she'll watch a cooking show. and then she'll go to sleep. Yeah. But you know, on some of these shows, like Iron Chef especially, any Iron Chef fans in here today? A couple of you? Yeah. I love it when he turns his head and it goes, whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. Iron Chef, there's Chopped, there's, what else? Help me here. Bobby Flay. I'm talking competitive ones now, competitive cooking shows. Man versus food. Dinner Impossible. Yes. Okay. The common thread in a lot of these competitive cooking shows is they will have a secret ingredient. And I love on Iron Chef how they reveal it. He goes, you know, the secret ingredient is, whoosh, and then the thing rises up and smoke comes out, and then they have something like, you know, gefilte fish or something. I don't know. And they have to take this secret ingredient and use it in everything, from the appetizer to the entree to the side dish to the dessert. And some of this stuff, sometimes they'll have multiple secret ingredients, but when they put all this stuff together, I don't know, man, just to my mind, some of this stuff just doesn't go together. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, who in the world would put those two things on the same plate, much less the same fork? And yet, I don't know, it seems to work. But all right, I made a list of some of these things. Salmon cupcakes. What is up with that? Salmon, I mean, is that dinner or is it dessert? You don't have cupcakes for dinner, unless you're like five. And you don't have salmon for dessert. What is up with salmon cupcakes? Peanut butter chili. Peanut butter is supposed to go on bread with jelly. Thank you. This is not natural. This is a slippery slope. You start putting peanut butter with chili, the next thing you know, you're going to have ground beef and jelly sandwiches, and it just goes downhill from there. It's not safe. It's a slippery slope. How about white chocolate avocado dip? I mean, you know, white chocolate, is that dessert? Or you've got your white chocolate dip, all right? I can deal. You got your, you know, guacamole over here, and your avocado, and it's like for your chips, and it's like somebody took that and just scooped it out and threw it in this bowl and shook it up and said, now eat it, you know? I mean, but the weirdest thing above all of those things is that when they do that and they serve it to the judges and these guys eat this stuff, they love it. They're like, oh, I love how the bouquet of that, you know, salmon comes out in the cupcake. He is all that judge type talk, you know. I'm just like, you know, where's the food? So, you know, I don't know. You know, they love it. I don't get it. But when I was preparing for this teaching, I was going to say today's teaching. This is actually 2 weeks ago's teaching. When I was preparing for this, from the Gospel of Mark, as we continue to go through the Gospel of Mark, and the Lord showed me these two passages He wanted me to preach from, I just didn't think they went together. I don't know. You know, I mean, they're right after each other, and I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, yeah, put these, this is what I want you to teach from. And I'm just like, okay, but I don't know, man. It's almost like salmon cupcakes. They just, you know, they I don't see it. But thankfully, as I went ahead in faith and obedience and just dove into the Word, as God began to unpack that and unfold that for me, and the wonders of His Word just became evident. By the time I got through that, I found out how deliciously these two passages go together, and how scrumptious it was to just feast on His wisdom and revelation from His Word. I love the Word of God. I've got a sweatshirt in there. I wore it here just in case I got muddy or something, but it has a picture of the dude in the... You guys remember the Memrex commercial from years ago where the guy's got the scarf and it's blowing back behind him while he's sitting in the chair? It's got that dude sitting in his chair with a scarf blowing behind him and a huge Bible in front of him like a big screen TV, and it says, "Blown away by the Word of God." That's me today. Blown away by the Word of God. Praise God. Okay, so if you want, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 14 through 20. And we're going to mishmash these two things together, these two passages together. And I hope you see where I'm coming from, but frankly, I think you're going to find it, frankly, delicious. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 on. Talking about John the Baptist, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Now, I'm going to pause here for a second before I go on. At that point, I would like the Bible to say, "And he began casting out demons and healing sick people and raising the dead," and on and so forth, demonstrating what the kingdom of God is. He mentions it twice there. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." So I want him to say, you know, just unfold that and say, okay, and then he goes out and starts casting out demons and healing sick people and raising the dead. And he does that, but before he gets there, God puts this other ingredient in. And I'm just like, God, what are you doing? So instead of him preaching the kingdom of God is at hand and then casting out some devil or something like that, all of a sudden we have this passage about a bunch of folks quitting their jobs. I'm like, wait a minute. That's salmon and cupcakes. That doesn't go together. What are you doing? That doesn't belong there. Would you mind if I just like slip that out? He said no. No, don't do it. So, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel. Verse 16, it goes on and says, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." Huh. Now, I said I was uncomfortable about where this verse was placed, but frankly, I was a little uncomfortable about what it said, too. Maybe some of the things it didn't say. Because even though I know and believe and I am persuaded that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God from cover to cover, from the first word till the last, nevertheless, my natural mind kind of recoiled at this because it just, frankly, found it a little hard to believe. My spirit man is like, yes, praise God. And my natural mind is going, what? I don't know if you've ever had that. you're reading in the Bible, you believe it's the Word of God, and you're reading in there, and you're coming down, and you're, oh, praise God, yes, this is the Word of God. And you read something, and your natural mind just says, what? But, you know, you don't want to betray God or anything. You don't want to, you know, you want to be true to what you believe. And so you're like, well, praise God, I guess I just don't understand that. And your natural mind's going, but. With all these questions. And my natural mind kept saying to me, John, do you mean to tell me that here are these guys, they are hard at work at their career, at their life vocation, and they're in these boats, they're in their boats with their nets, with their fish, with their family, with their homes, and some dude comes walking by and says some coy little statement, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they just like, okay, we're gone, we're out of here, bam, and they follow him. My natural mind is saying, John, get a grip. And my spirit man is saying, just chill. Praise God. But the question begs to be asked, if you look at this passage at face value, what would cause somebody to walk away from everything and everyone that they have held dear for years and follow a man they know little to nothing about? What would cause someone to do that? And as my natural mind posed that question, the Holy Spirit responded and said, no, the question is, what would allow someone, what would empower someone to walk away from everything and everyone that they have held dear for years to follow someone that they know little to nothing about? It's not what would cause them, what would allow them, what would give them the freedom to do that, what would liberate them and empower them and vitalize them so much that the moment he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, nothing could stand in their way. And immediately, they left their nets and their family and followed Jesus Christ. Of course, you know, your flesh doesn't give up that easy. And my natural mind would say, yeah, but what about Zebedee? Because I'm a dad. I know how dads act. I know how they respond when their kids come up with these crazy ideas.